What's up, crew? My name is Kelsey Zudema, and welcome to the Real is Empowering podcast. Through creating a healthy lifestyle as well as being an entrepreneur, I knew that I could not be in this journey alone. So I wanted to create a podcast that interviewed other real people who are going through an entrepreneurship journey as well as creating a healthy lifestyle and what that means and looks like to them. Through this podcast, I hope to be real as well as empower you on your journey. If you find anything that is beneficial during this podcast, please press share and subscribe. It means a lot to me as I'm just starting out on this platform. Remember, real is empowering. Katie Stryker Greenbauer is a certified personal trainer, certified nutrition coach, and fitness nutrition specialist from the National Academy of Sports Medicine. She is also a competitive obstacle course athlete. In 2015, she was ranked number one in age in the Spartan Race Open Division in the U.S. and top 10 worldwide. She started racing in the elite division. Since becoming an elite athlete, she has been able to obtain a handful of Masters Elite podium finishes. Katie is the owner of Stryker Strong, a training and nutrition coaching company. She is also currently the trainer at a senior living community. Her experience as an obstacle course racer with elite level athletes gives her a unique insight into how to help a wide range of clients attain both their fitness goals, no matter where they may be starting from. All right. Well, this is Katie Greenbauer, and we go back quite a while. It's crazy that we're talking now and I'm not a little baby at your cabin 4th of July. So
exactly.
But Katie is amazing. She is the epitome of healthy lifestyle and has tons of wisdom when it comes to it, and has helped me a couple of times with my journey and creating a healthy lifestyle. So what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm the owner of my own fitness company. It's called Stryker Strong. I do personal training and nutrition coaching. So sometimes I just have nutrition clients, sometimes I just have personal training clients, and sometimes I combine the personal training with nutrition.
Awesome. And when did you start that?
Well, I started my own company in 2017, okay. But I had been doing some group classes. I'm also an obstacle course racer. So a lot of my friends would want to come with me on my workouts. I just noticed that, you know, I was leading this really healthy lifestyle. So a lot of times my friends who are also pretty health conscious wanted to work out as a group. It's always more, motivating to, if you know somebody's counting you to be there at 5 a.m. So we sort of created a group. So my business is fairly new, but a healthy working out, playing sports, being active, that's been pretty much lifelong, mostly since college. And then I really started getting into strength training after my second daughter was born.
I always remembered you would wake up at the cabin and go for runs and long, crazy distance runs. And, you know, I'm still sleeping. I'm like, this woman is amazing.
Hey, okay, well, it's not hard to get a run in when you're waking up at 1 p.m. So
true. Yes, exactly. So why did you start this company? Why do you emphasize a healthy lifestyle so much? What's the importance?
Okay, well, so the reason I started getting into weightlifting and heavy lifting and worrying about my health was because of my kids. I have my oldest daughter is 23, who was born right around the same time you were born. She has special needs. And so when I got pregnant with my second daughter, I was having just horrible time trying to take care of this child in in a pretty much dead weight. We had to do everything for my oldest daughter, Jamie. And I got pregnant with Chloe and she was fine, but it was really hard to be physically strong enough to do all the daily care that Jamie needed. So that was back in 2000, I started lifting weights and trying to get healthy and strong enough to be able to take care of the kids, and did a ton of research on, you know, how to be strong, how to be healthy, how not to hurt your back, which you hear a lot of people hurting your back. So all of the things that I needed to take care of Jamie, and I felt so good, and I was so much more physically able to do things, much more mentally and emotionally able to handle all the things that were coming my way with a child with special needs. It's a big responsibility. So you mentioned runs. I mean, even when Jamie would be hospitalized, I'd always have a nurse or a doctor or whoever watch Jamie while I could go on a run. And there was always somebody around at the hospital that would give me a route that would be about a half hour, you know?
Yeah. So
I always incorporated into it, because even I found it our most stressful times, it's been the most effective. So kind of went off on a tangent there. So what was the original question
how
I got started?
Yeah, just like, why do you do what you do now? And I think, you know, you kind of answer that. Your family and your kids is a huge part of it. So then, you know, leading into you starting your own business, that's, you know, entrepreneurship is tough. So it would have been really easy for you to take your knowledge, your wisdom, your journey, and just go work for someone else and say, I don't have to start from scratch. I can just work for someone. So with incorporating your healthy lifestyle, why did you then choose the entrepreneurship route, essentially?
Well, so there's a couple of reasons. One is I'm an athlete myself, and I wanted the flexibility of being able to train myself, you know, schedule in my own training and my own schedule. And I wanted the flexibility of being able to go and compete. My daughter's an athlete, so I wanted the flexibility of being able to go to her. When I started it, she was a gymnast. So I wanted to be able to go see her. It's quite an experience when you're the mother of a junior Olympic gymnast. You have a lot of meets and things to go to, and I wouldn't miss any of that for the world. So I wanted to make it flexible and on my own terms. And then I also wanted to have a client-centered practice. And when I see the misinformation that's out there, I see these big box gyms pushing unhealthy expectations on people, that you have to buy a certain amount of, products, whether you believe in those products or not, you have to sell, you have to do all of that. And then you have to sign people up for these year long courses that maybe isn't going to be appropriate for them. So I thought that the way that I could best help people would be with a client-centered practice instead of somewhere around me. I wanted to be responsive to each client as an individual rather than just pushing someone through a preset program and sort of hurting, you know, people like they're just a number and not an individual.
See, I love that. The relationship aspect, I think, especially when people are trying to start a fitness or health journey, is so important, because if they're not sure what they're doing and then they feel like a number and then they give up because they don't feel taken care of, then that can affect them long term. And for the people who, like you, are super passionate about, you know, healthy lifestyle and see the importance of it and the longevity of it, you know, it kind of breaks your heart. You're like, no, it's not all like that. You know, there are people who care about you and want to see you create a lifestyle that's maintainable and allows you the best quality of life that you possibly can have. So I think with your personality too, just from knowing you, I'm like, yeah, I would want you as my coach. So you're very, you know, relatable, and, you know, your humor and just your personality as a whole, I would agree that client-based is definitely a go-to for you. And just, it's really cool to see all that you're doing and to hear your passion behind it. So it's like, when you, let's say you have a first-time client, right, and they come in, how do you explain what creating a healthy lifestyle looks like what would you say your definition of that is?
So I think that's it's a really good question. I think, first of all, let me just say what I do is probably the number one most misunderstood professions in the world. And I think that there's a lot of really beautiful, gorgeous, healthy, fit men and women out there on Instagram telling people what they should do and what they should look like. And they might not even have any idea about the physiological, psychological, emotional effects of what they're saying. They may have found a way that works great for them, but they don't really understand what it is that this is, in fact, a science. There's two science. I consider myself mostly science-based because I want to be able to have concrete answers to help people with their specific problems or struggles or goals or needs or strengths or whatever it is. So not everybody fits into this cookie cutter, do this, do this, do this, and then you'll have that, you know. So I usually when I intake a new client, I spend some time doing a postural and movement assessment on them because so many of us, we all have some sort of compensatory behavior or movement based on, it could be an ankle injury that you had in soccer when you were in sixth grade. I mean, there's a lot of us have that. So we want to be cognizant of not encouraging that compensatory behavior and pulling back and saying, what do we need to make sure that the posture and the movement of this person is going to be optimal moving forward? So a lot of times I put the brakes on people when they come in. They just want to do everything all at once. And we have to do a lot of, well, let's just see where you are. You know, let's see. Everybody has a dominant side. Everybody is a little bit asymmetrical. It's fine. It's when we start to get into things that are causing pain and that potentially could cause injury down the line. So I'll do an assessment. And then I want to talk to people about their goals and their current lifestyle, because you mentioned sustainability. Like, I could be the best coach in the world, and if I throw thousands of things at you, you might not be able to sustain it. And I have clients who need very structured ways to go about it. They want to talk about what I'm going to do on Sunday, what I'm going to do on Monday, they want to talk about everything, and they want to learn everything at once, and they do extremely well with that. And then I have clients who can barely process a single answer to a single question because it is a science. So a lot of times my answer to questions is, it depends. And I get that all the time. And my kids tease me, and people will ask me when they find out what I do, is this good for you or bad for you? What's the best exercise? What's the best diet? And without fail, my answer is always, it depends. Mm-hmm. Who are you? What are your goals? What will fit into your lifestyle? I can tell you the best, if you want to be a marathon runner, then you got to run. You know, if you want just a complete overhaul of your whole entire lifestyle, then we need to delve into your lifestyle and see where we can fit in changes. So it depends on the individual person. And I think some of the group classes and some of the videos and things you see on Instagram and Facebook, and you can buy the DVDs, I think some of those are excellent to get started, but they can also be dangerous and devastating. And if it's not the right thing for you, and I credit a lot of my business from gaining clients who have tried all the stuff that's out there, and they're just spinning their wheels and they can't figure it out. And they come and they blame themselves, and they say, "Wait a minute! I think you're blaming the wrong person. I think you're doing what you think you're supposed to be doing." But the fitness industry has failed you, and we have so many people out there giving advice that don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily your fault. I can see people that they come in, they're frustrated. They've tried a lot of things. They don't understand why things aren't working. And we have to back it up and say, okay, you know, if you bought a car that was a lemon, would you blame yourself? So if you're buying into a lot of, you know, things that you see out there, it's it can be pretty harsh for some people, and it can do some long lasting, not just physical damage, but emotional and mental damage. So we need to sort of back it up and take things one by one,
mm-hmm.
you know, each issue by issue.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, I am an avid person who works out, and, you know, I have to constantly evaluate what's working and what's not. So a couple years back, I did CrossFit for the summer, and that was the best shape I have probably ever been in my life. And then I kind of stopped because I had college athlete, and then I went to just simply like lifting, and I didn't do really cardio with it. And I felt like, this is not working. I feel like I'm losing traction. And they're like, well, what was working, you know? And some people yeah. get very stuck on one process, one thing, and it doesn't work for them. But like you said, they see this Instagram fitness person, and, you know, I don't think that an Instagram fitness person's intentions are ill. I don't think they're trying to set yeah. people up for success. I think that the person on the receiving end doesn't realize that sometimes what they're doing doesn't work for them, right? And I had to come to that conclusion where I'm like, well, I know for a fact that I'll never look like this person, no matter how much I work out. But I have found, hey, high intensity interval training, that's what works for my body. This is when I feel my best. So I think that's really important for people to hear that while someone may not have an ill intention of, you know, making you fail, in essence, it's just like, take it, see if it works. And if it doesn't, then reevaluate. And, you know, like we were talking about, like a health journey is never ending. It's
right.
your life. So it's not going to be a 3-month quick fix and then, okay, like go back to how I was before or whatever. It's a constant, what is working, what is not, how is my body changing, or how is it not? So I really like that, how you take your clients in and you say, okay, let's get to the root of the issue rather than, okay, let's just throw something at you and maybe it will work, maybe it won't. So that's really, really cool. So we kind of talked about already what your journey has looked like in regards to healthy lifestyle and creating that with your past. But I want to know from someone who's very into fitness, health, you know, conscious of what you're eating, everything like that. You're very aware of that. What's something that maybe you still even struggle with in regards to your health?
Oh, I think without a doubt, across the board, nutritionists and personal trainers, we take care of everybody else before we take care of ourselves. So that's what I was talking about. I schedule in my own workouts, you know, and I will spend, you know, hours working with people on their nutrition and realize I haven't eaten in 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, that's not a really good example. I'm not setting a great example. I'm preaching it, but I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. So I think across the board, almost every single one of us has fallen into that trap. And so, and also I want to point out that a lot of us trainers and nutritionists hire or trade back and forth information and accountability with other trainers and other nutritionists. Because so I had retired from obstacle course racing for a couple of years and I wanted to get back into shape, and I was mentally in no shape to do that. I had, as you know, I just lost a child, so I didn't really have a lot of mental space to really evaluate myself and see what was working and what wasn't. So I hired a trainer, and hiring that trainer just, it completely changed everything, because he, first of all, he was a really good trainer. And second of all, it helped me look in at my fitness and my athleticism in a completely different way than I normally would have.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us will do that. We will talk to other nutritionists, help each other, hold each other accountable. You know, and also I think I don't know everything. I know what I know, but I don't know what I don't know. And if I can collaborate with people, it's nice to be able to try it yourself before you recommend it for other people. And I'm not the perfect coach for everybody. I have a way I do things, but I might not be the perfect coach for somebody. And I might know that other coach's style. And I would rather have to keep something, someone healthy and make sure that it's sustainable. I would refer someone maybe to another coach that is, that does things with a little bit different approach that I think that that person would like, and vice versa. So, you know, I think it's really just taking care of ourselves and making sure we are staying on top of what's right for us, because we're individuals too. And, you know, I'm 50. So things that I did 20 years ago are not going to work things that, as well, or they're just going to work differently than things that I did 10 years ago. And in 10 years from now, I hope to be doing a lot of the same stuff that I'm doing. And I might be better at some of it and I might be worse at it. But we, you know, everything, your body changes. Physiologically, we change. So we have to sort of keep up ahead of the curve of that.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like technology. It's just constantly changing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think because of the United States with this, our obsession with beauty and our bodies and food and diet, and the industry is just a billions and billions of dollars. So there are studies all the time. I mean, people always ask me what I do for fun. And I'm like, well, I read a lot of studies. So a lot of the things I do are pretty geeky. It's like, we have this joke about being this geeky muscle head, you know, like there's a lot of science out there. And it's very interesting. And we can, you know, go down a lot of different rabbit holes. But I really emphasize with all of my clients that this is when they feel like they're not making progress, that they don't know why they didn't make progress. It's like, well, you're not a scientist. This is science. This is physiological. These are reactions that you have. How would you ever have known that this would increase that hormone or decrease that hormone? Or, you know, I don't know how to do other people's jobs. How would they expect to know my job just because, you know, there's a lot of tutorials on YouTube, a lot of tutorials on Instagram, a lot of that, but still might not apply to somebody, you know? So you really have to have you know, hands-on experience working with people, understanding, you know, it's just getting out there and doing it, you know, practicing that craft and getting as much experience as you can with as many different kinds of people that you can to really see, so you can really hone in on what problems are with people not making progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for the mental side of it, I know a lot of people directly go to food, scale, not mm-hmm. see progress. You know, like the back and forth of eating and scale and obsession with weight and stuff like that. How do you train someone mentally to say, hey, the progress is not necessarily in the scale, it's in, you know, how you feel, and just maybe touch on the mental side of it and how you would approach someone in that regards.
Okay. So I have a wide range of clients in that regard, because I have some clients who are very reluctant to stand on the scale. They put a lot of emphasis on that number. They want to know, they freak out about their BMI, they freak out about everything, and they want to know, you know, why am I not losing weight? And so a lot of it goes towards explaining the physiology of losing fat versus losing weight. Gaining muscle and losing fat can make you smaller. So, you know, we talk a lot about that. And then weight is one data point that we use for health. Mm-hmm. And so we have an ideal way to address health issues. And ideally it would be that we have as much data as possible, but I've had clients who just really put too much emphasis on the scale. So I don't have them weigh themselves every day, even though I know from, you know, studies that people who self-monitor, including things like weighing themselves every day, watching what they eat, coming up with a plan, those are the people that have the most success long-term. In the short term, somebody who has a really hard problem with that, we're not going to really get on the scale. And we'll start measuring success in different ways. Mm. And the other point I'd like to make about that is that hard things don't get easier by avoiding them most of the time. So sometimes we just have to say it's hard and we know it, but we're going to do it anyway, because we're going to start creating sort of an immunity to this knee-jerk reaction to what the scale says. And so we have to be in control of ourselves and our thoughts and our actions. And a lot of people that come to me are, they don't have that control yet. And so we work on the discipline of understanding that control and understanding what matters and why it matters, and letting go of some of those preconceived notions. Mm. Some people hook onto that really quickly and it's great and we have a lot of progress. Some people, it takes a little bit longer. It just depends on each person's depth of perception of what's going on. Some people have health problems that they just want to take care of right away, and they will obsess over something that they don't realize that this is not necessarily what you need to be obsessing over. We're making progress here. Mm-hmm. Most of my clients at the end of each session, we talk about the progress they made in the session. We talk about it during, and I talk about it after. When we finish like a monthly plan, I always talk about the successes. If somebody is just going completely off the rails, I kind of reel them in and show them the percentage of what worked and the percentage of what didn't. And so each person, again, it's going to be different for each person.
Yeah.
So having that, you know, client centered practice and having taking the time with each client and finding out exactly what their, what's hanging them up, what's stopping them. It's easier to address when we know have a specific person in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. I think that the mental side can either like weigh you down. You can either sink in it or you can, you know, swim. And I remember, because the whole point of this podcast is just to be real with people and give them, you know, tips and tactical ways to say, how can I create a healthy lifestyle? And so I'm always real with, I try to always be real with, you know, people who watch my stuff or listen to what I'm saying. And, you know, I was obsessed with the scale for so long, and I would, you know, hop on every day. I would be frustrated if it was up a little bit. I would be, you know, excited if it was down. And then, you know, fluctuation in weight is real. And so if you want a roller coaster of emotions, that's how you get it, because one day I'd be down 2 and then the next day I'd be up 3. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that we can get caught up in a number defining us so often. And it's kind of a society-based belief, I think.
I agree.
We have been pushed to say the number on the scale, the pant size, whatever it looks like. Like, I used to be ashamed that I had to go and get, like, a large in a shirt, which, for the record, for guys who are listening, women's clothes lie. Like, I was, like, determined for a long time to create a new clothing brand that was true to size no matter what, because...
Oh, I remember that, yes.
Oh, I was so frustrated. I'm like, how do I fit in a medium here and a large in here? No one buy me clothes because I can't tell you what size I wear. I have to try it on. But it's true. And I think the numbers are mentally defeating sometimes. It's like society says this and you hear it so often. And then, you know, 1, 2, 3 people come around and like, no, like that's not right. But when you have a number of people telling you this and it's greater than the number of people telling you the truth, what are you going to believe? You know,
exactly.
So that was a moment where I had to literally put aside the scale. And when I was doing that, that was my probably lowest times in my health journey, because that's when I started to go through eating disorders and, you know, being mentally exhausted all the time because I was so tough on myself. And nothing that I was thinking was ever kind to myself. It was always, why aren't you progressing in this? Why do you weigh this much? You know, why are you eating this much? Like, You know what I mean? So I think that's a really important topic for people to hear that, you know, if you have to put away the scale for a little while because that's a struggle, that's okay. And approach it again when you're in a better mental state about it.
Right. If you ever need to do that. Some people can get away without doing it. And some people usually, I mean, just the studies that we've seen, but there are people that can get away with it. And this brings up a couple points. Usually my race is we get a race shirt and I'm 5'2" and I usually get a men's race shirt because the women's shirts do not fit over my biceps and my shoulders. So it's hilarious. It is absolutely hilarious. Like my sizing is crazy. Mm-hmm. And so people are shocked sometimes when they find out how big my clothes are. And I have to change them or alter them because I'm just trying to fit this over my giant thighs. You know, these thighs are muscle. This booty is muscle. Yep. It's like, I'm not ashamed of my size. Mm-hmm. I don't mind my size. It's a lot of muscle. And obviously, you know, so it is one of those things we do get caught up on. Yeah, but she looks like that and he looks like that. And I should, you've got to go with where you get into your pocket where you feel good. And the other thing, Kelsey, that you brought up, I don't even know if you realize this, but the way your mind works is I can't remember the name of the researcher who said this, but have you ever heard about the Teflon and the Velcro parts of our brain? And so from a survival point, negative thoughts and negative experiences teach us a lot. And so from a survival way, we will always retain more negative to keep ourselves safe. This is going back into like, you know, caveman days, mm-hmm. whereas positive things have somewhat of an influence over us, but it's not necessarily what's going to keep us alive tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And I see this a lot with working with people who have had poor compensatory patterns in their movement or their posture over a lifetime. I work with a lot of seniors, and one of the things that your brain does not care about 15 minutes from now. Your brain cares about right now. It keeps you alive right now. So if it brings you into a pattern that is unhealthy over the long term, it doesn't really care. It wants you to stay alive right now. So we will see movement patterns, thought patterns, a lot of patterns that are ingrained in us as humans, because that's evolutionary. That's what's been keeping us alive for all this time, that it's more important for us to remember that a saber-toothed tiger lives down there, don't go down there, then or may or may not find some strawberry patches over there. So we have to use what we know about our brains and use that to our advantage. And so our subconscious is so strong, and the ability of our minds and what we actually truly believe is so important to us. You could have the absolute worst coach and do great if you believe in that coach, and you could have the absolute best coach and do horrible if you don't connect or believe in what that coach is doing. Mm-hmm. So your mind is so powerful, and I do some there are some fun little exercises that I do with people that show them exactly like how our brain connects to our body and why it does things that it does. And those are, you know, different ways that we can say we know how our brain works and we know what it's going to do. So let's use that to our advantage to create success instead of letting us spiral down. And not just success in our subconscious thoughts and our conscious thoughts, but also in our physical behavior. Like, there's ways that we can elicit elicit our brain to bring more strength and ability to our body. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of mind blowing. And it's a science that, you know, we could really delve into, but, just by marching in place, bilateral movements and unilateral movements and the way that affects strength and coordination and ability. So there's, you know, that goes back to why, you know, everybody is an individual and what is your goal? And so I know that hiring a coach is not possible for everybody. I know it's not, you know, especially right now financially, a lot of people are, this seems to be like a luxury, but when you think about the amount of time and money and sickness that you'll have by not investing in yourself,
yep.
You know, if we put, you know, on the pros and cons or on the debit sheet, clearly the investment in yourself with a coach who knows really well what they're doing is a no-brainer,
mm-hmm.
far cheaper than a lifetime of disease or,
yeah.
You know, unease or unhealthiness.
Yep.
And I think most good coaches understand that. And we try to teach our clients what they need to know so that they're not paying us for the rest of their life,
right.
You know, and that they can come back to us for, okay, things have changed in my life now. Now I've had a baby. Now I'm older. Now I've lost weight. I don't understand why I can't eat, you know? So
yep.
Most coaches, I mean, our goal is to, you know, teach you as much as we possibly can about you and your body and let you go.
Yep.
You know, if we've done our job right, you'll understand what you need to know. There are some people whose personality is that they will never come show up to the gym unless they have a trainer. And, you know, that's fine too. If that's something that's feasible for you, that's great. But constantly educating and teaching your clients should be like the number one goal of every trainer. You know, that you want to make sure people understand what you're doing and why.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create a mind-body connection. We want you to be successful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, your success is our success.
Yeah. I really like that. I think a lot of people forget that it's okay to invest in yourself. I think, you know, we're very quick to give to something that doesn't really necessarily mean a lot. So I could go spend $200 on a pair of shoes, but then, health coach for $200, I'm not so sure. You know, and we're very quick to, like, give to things that longevity wise are not going to benefit us necessarily. And it's sometimes just the belief that we don't deserve it. Like sometimes we don't believe that, well, am I worth investing in myself? You know, and it's the mindset aspect of it. So I appreciate that you set that up and say to your clients that, hey, this is an investment in yourself. And down the road, you will thank yourself. It's better to invest in yourself now than, you know, having to invest in hospital bills and all this stuff later. Like, I think if people can put that in perspective and look past tomorrow or next week or, you know, the initial cost or whatever that looks like for them, they see that the value really is greater than the amount of money that they're about to pay. So I think that's really important. And I'm so intrigued recently just by the mental aspect of it all. And so that's why I keep connecting everything back to the mind, because I always believe that, you know, a healthy lifestyle, which wasn't healthy, was always weight, food, exercise, you know, and I didn't pay attention to the mental side of anything. And I think that if I would have, you know, I probably would have made a lot more progress sooner than having to essentially feel like I'm starting over now, you know, which better late than never, and learn it now and I'll thank myself down the road. But yeah, I think that that's also the purpose of this, is to teach people what I didn't learn and now what I am. And hopefully you can not go through that same process and you can get started sooner than what I did and what I went through. You know, so I appreciate your emphasis, like, on the mental side as well as the physical side, and your attention to everything as a whole. I think that's a healthy lifestyle.
It is. You cannot separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between health and wellness encompasses social, emotional, mental, physical.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't necessarily want to just focus on one part of it, which would be your physical health. We want to focus on wellness as a whole.
Yep.
So wellness encompasses all of it. And you cannot separate your, I think I've said this before, you cannot your body is not just a bunch of muscles attached to bones. It's a system, and it's a system that's connected to your brain. And so it's everything is neurological, physiological, skeletal muscle. Everything is connected. You cannot pull at one string without hitting another. And people are very shocked. I had a woman with neck pain, and I worked on her feet, helped her work on her foot, and getting a better gait and stronger feet and changing shoes. And she was shocked at her neck pain going away. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because it's one thing to zoom in. You could go to a doctor and say, why does my neck hurt? And your specialist is going to look at your neck. But if you zoom out and look at the whole thing, it's like, I know why your neck hurts. Your neck hurts because you're walking horribly and you're wearing shoes that are hobbling you. Mm-hmm. So you have no strength in that foot. Mm-hmm. I love specialists because they can really zoom in on things. But I think as a coach, we have to zoom out and look at the whole picture. We have to look not just at, oh, her neck hurts. Let me teach you some neck exercises. Like, mm-hmm. Well, why does your neck hurt?
Yep.
Why does your hip hurt? Why does your knee hurt? So, well, I can help you work on exercises that would help hips not hurt so much. I want to know why that happened to begin with, mm-hmm. and where in that chain, what broke down and why did that happen? And I think the mental aspect of it is a huge part of it.
Yeah. You know,
so we need to say, where did we get this disordered thinking? Where did we get this disordered eating? Where did we get this disordered movement, posture, all of that kind of stuff? So you really have to zoom out and look at the whole person. And that helps with success too, because you can look at not just one aspect of success. Like you said, a certain size, a certain weight. That's not how we look at how we are successful in leading a healthy and well life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as we kind of wrap up, I like to ask people just some fun questions, I guess, okay. Just to get to know you more and like just kind of close out the episode. And so my first question is, what is your favorite meal or favorite dessert? Or you can do both. It's up to you.
Okay. Well, I'm a salad freak. And most of the time it has to be a salad I made.
Uh-huh.
So, it has to have protein in it. I mean, everybody teases me. All I talk about is protein, 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 protein. But, so definitely like almost every meal that we make, I'll turn it into a salad somehow. I love salad. I do. And then, dessert, I'm really kind of, I'd have to say probably chocolate chip cookies are my number one dessert. Mm. Freshly made chocolate chip cookies. I don't think you can beat that.
Nope.
And I do think that there's room in every nutrition plan for treats like that. And sometimes they're more appropriate than others. Right now, though, I'm sort of gearing up for more of a racing season. So I'm really digging Greek yogurt for dessert, something a little bit sweet, but has protein obviously in it and a little less calories than a chocolate chip cookie. So I'm kind of like I'm really obsessed right now with Greek yogurt. So that's,
do you add something to it? Like, do you add stuff to your Greek yogurt? Yeah,
so it depends. Sometimes I add granola and sometimes I add chocolate chips.
Ooh,
so
yum.
I really want to be, you know, like, okay. And it depends on how busy I've been. I want to make sure I'm not dropping my calories too low. You know, so yeah, sometimes I have room for that, you know, so it just depends on, you know, so yeah, I do add things to it sometimes. So
that sounds really good. I love Greek yogurt, surprisingly. A lot of people don't like the texture or the taste of it, but I'm a fan. And if you add like granola or something, it's,
yeah.
I, I might have to get some because now I'm craving it.
I always warn people, they say, well, I got rid of my Lucky Charms and I started eating granola and I've gained weight. I'm just like, well, because granola is calorie dense. That's why. So I always warn people, like, this is a lot of calories in it. So if you're trying to watch your calories, you know, it's one of those things in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have a lot of health benefits to it. Because, so it's also nutrient dense.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. And the other thing is I find that the more you, I think if you'd asked me in college what my favorite meal is, it probably would have been nachos or cheeseburgers or something like that.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, I will eat nachos and cheeseburgers. I have no problem, you know, every once in a while doing that. But I don't feel that great when I eat something that's not fulfilling. It doesn't feel good to me. So now my body and my taste buds have sort of synced up into what tastes good is what makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to associate that. And I think a lot of people have a hard time getting over that hump of just saying, you know, I just have to do this. Like I might not love the taste of Greek yogurt, but I need more protein and I need some dairy in my vegetarian lifestyle or whatever it is, you know? And, I have a client who has, battles with trying to gain weight. And, a lot of the excuses are, it doesn't taste good. I don't like the texture. I don't like this. And I'm like, well, what's more important? Do you want to make the transition? Do you want to hit these goals or do you want to just enjoy life? And you decide. It's your decision. But if your goals kind of bring you into alignment with a different choice, you might not always like that choice, but for a short time, maybe you could, you know, just suck it up and do it. And then who knows, later on you might be like, oh, I like this. This actually now that it's helping my body, I actually like this now. Yeah. I don't like that other choice. Like that doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
And so you start to associate satisfaction, not just through your taste buds, but through your whole entire body.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that is interesting. A lot of people can't get over, but I don't get this now. So you can't ever get over the hump if you're not willing to give it up for a short period of time, because that is a weird thing that your body goes through where you have a craving. And when you are disciplined and decide to say, I'm not going to have this for however long, it's amazing that when you go to have that item, it's really like, meh, whatever, like I can live without, or I don't really feel good after it. And it's just the discipline to say, I'm just going to go away from it. That's how I was with coffee. I would get Starbucks almost every day. And I'm not talking like, you know, like an ice cold brew black. I'm talking like the frou-frou, tons of calories, tons of sugar. And I was dependent on my Starbucks like 5 to 7 days a week. It was awful.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can never give up coffee. I'll never give up coffee. And one day I was like, this is really holding me back. And I could start to tell that I wasn't feeling good after. And I gave it up. And now I'm like, I can barely finish half of a medium iced coffee, you know? And it's weird. Like I'll be drinking it and I was so used to just chugging it and getting a big one. And now I'm like, I can't drink this. Like, I can't do it. And it's a weird moment when you're like addicted to something and then you try to go back to it and you can't, you're like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, actually, no, this is good. This is good.
It's a good thing. It's a very good thing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But I will agree with you on chocolate chip cookies. A warm chocolate chip cookie is a quick fix to a lot of things. And okay, last question that I want to know. I love traveling. So I always like to ask people, if you could go to one place in the world, where would be your dream travel destination?
Oh my gosh, that's crazy, especially with what's happening in the world right now. So as you know, I've lived all over the world. So I've traveled extensively. But I have never been to Thailand, and I've always kind of wanted to go out to the Far East, Singapore, places like that, that I've never, you know, something completely different. I've never traveled there. So I think that would be probably right up there at the top of my list.
Mm-hmm.
I've been all over Europe. I've lived in Australia. I've lived in Germany. I've lived all over the United States. So to go somewhere in the Far East, I think would be really interesting. Plus, I love the cuisine. I love Thai food. I love any kind of Vietnamese food. Mm-hmm. I love the cuisine. So being kind of a foodie, that would be, you know, just perfect for me.
Yeah. Their food is so different, which is so cool. And yeah. I honestly, immediately when you said Thailand, I was like, I think she wants to go for the food.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because that's
oh,
what
yeah.
a lot of people think of. When you think of yeah. Thailand, you think of their food and how yeah. cool and diverse it is and how yeah. different it is.
Right, right. So, actually, if I had a choice between Vietnamese food and Thai food, I would probably choose Vietnamese.
Really?
But they're similar. Mm-hmm. They're pretty close. So, yeah. Oh, definitely for the food. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And for the experience. And we have such different cultures. And so, you know, when you look at a country like the United States and Australia, you think that it's going to be pretty close, but our cultures are actually pretty different. And even between Canada or Mexico or, and so we're all here in North America. And when you think of, you know, going somewhere far east, like if we're that different from Canada or Australia or Great Britain, where we feel like we're all kind of, you know, European sort of background, when you think of going somewhere that far away from you with such a different culture, mm-hmm. there's so much to be learned.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so much to be learned. So it would be very interesting to just absorb some culture that is so completely different than ours.
Yeah. I love that. I love that thought process. That's what I appreciate about you, is you're so apt to learn and so excited to learn. And
yes.
that's
yeah.
what makes you such a great coach, is that you're, you know, you say it's geeky that you read in your off time, yeah. but if I was a client, I'm like, no, that's great. 'Cause that means that my coach is learning and is constantly wanting to be better, which then
yeah.
in turn benefits me, you know, and it's adding
yeah.
value. So I think
yeah.
that's really cool. If you ever
yeah.
go, give me a follow up and let me know what it's like.
I definitely will.
Well, it has been so much fun having you on. I'm excited to re-listen to this and take notes myself and just really listen in. And I appreciate you taking time to just share your knowledge and wisdom and yourself with all of the listeners. So.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm so happy to see you too. I miss you.
I know. I miss you too.
The cottage is not the same without Kelsey there.
Oh.
For 4th of July, I gotta say.
Well, this 4th of July, I'm hoping to change that. I missed it this past year and I was like, I have to go this year. It's not an option.
I know. It's all fancy now. We had it redone. So
oh boy.
Yeah, new kitchen, new floor. So, you know, you got to come see the changes.
Well, now it's even more reason. I have to come.
I know. I'd love to see you. I always love seeing you. I always love talking to you. Congratulations on this endeavor that you're doing. And I love you're putting yourself out there and being vulnerable and not being afraid to fail and not being afraid to ask for help and not being afraid of just being real. I think that is a huge, huge step. And I think if all of us could learn something from that, it would be, our society might be a little bit different. So keep, you know, being that role model that is saying, okay, here's where I'm messing up. Here's where I'm not, you know, like you're never going to, you gotta, one of the groups that I work with and, obstacle course racing, we always say fire, aim, ready, just go for it. You don't have to have all the information in the world to just go start making changes in your life. So,
yeah,
educate yourself along the way, but you know, action is better than, you know, doing something is better than doing nothing. So, you know, learning as you go, you know, no one's ever an expert. You always are going to be learning. So
yeah,
keep it up, girl. I'm so proud of you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. It means a lot. So now I'm going to get emotional. But thank you, really. It does mean a lot. And I've appreciated you having you on here. So.
All right. Well, good luck. If you ever need anything, let me know.
Yeah. Thanks. I will. Thanks for tuning in this week. I hope you benefited from something within that podcast. And stay on the lookout for next week's podcast. If you want to connect with me, if you have feedback, if you want to follow me, you can find me on my page, Crew, K-R-E-W, underscore work, W-E-R-K. Just Crew spelled backwards. Go give that Insta page a follow. And there you can find my blog as well, which is chock full with valuable content that I've learned through my journey, tips, tricks, and everything in between. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and it's real and empowering.